Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way and glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time together. You've tuned me in either by the way of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock, and we now stream this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. Some of you tuned me in by the way of Ionia, I-1430 AM, or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock. Others have tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGLM, 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And both of these stations we are now streaming by the way of the web. Some of you tuned in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 11. Some may be listening by the way of Sermon Cloud. We've been having a little trouble getting our message on Sermon Cloud for some reason. But if I've got it working now, it'll be you go to PastorKenHarger.com, go to Messages from the Lighthouse, and scroll down until you see Sermon Cloud and click on there, and it takes you to my storage place. We've been having difficulty putting the new ones on for some reason, but we'll just see what happens on today's program. I've got a hold of the company, and they've been working on it, trying to figure out what is going on, why it doesn't want to do that. So we're just looking forward to getting that corrected so that you can listen. Whatever way you joined us, I'm just so glad to have you being a part of our listening audience this morning. And we're just asking the Lord's blessing to be upon our time in a very special way. Our message today is a study in the book of James, lesson number 6. And this message is sharing with us that God shares some warnings for us to heed, and we'll talk about those warnings that he gives to us as we continue on in our message time. I need to say thank you to those that take care of the financial part of the broadcast, so a big thank you to Doug and Noreen Lane family from Sheridan, to Marie Rivard in memory and honor of her husband, Fran. She's from Dayton, Tennessee, but she's in Michigan for a little while. Thank you so much, Marie. To Gay London in memory and honor of her husband, Dave, and she's also from Greenville. Court Warner, Premium Truck and Auto, located east of Belding on M44 on the north side of the road. Complete truck and auto repair and service. Well, that takes care of that. Big thank you to K.N. Kingsinger for selecting the music for this morning's broadcast. And I always like to give an invitation to attend Shiloh Community Church, which has been a part of my life over 60 years, and that's something very special to me. Saturday evening, we start out our weekend of worship, as we call it, at 6:30 at Shiloh. Sunday morning at Shiloh, it's 9 o'clock, a contemporary service at 10:45. And in Greenville campus at the old Lutheran church located on M91 North, up there by McDonald's, a Sunday morning service at 11 o'clock. And if you come and join us in any one of those services, we would appreciate it very much. We always love to have some visitors come and join us. Well, to get ready for the message this morning, we need to get a hold of a song that we want to play and be a part of our life. But I got to grab my little clicker. It's clear over here. I'll be right back, and I am. So here we go. I'm hoping this is going to come together. I don't know what's wrong sometimes with some of the things that we have, but you know, that's just the way life is as well as you and I go through life. Sometimes there's just things that doesn't seem to want to turn out like we think it should. Judge Not is what we're going to be listening to.
She was known to be a user, a long-time substance abuser. She left a good life in search of her own way. She had marks of her decisions. She sold herself to make provision. So she did not care what they had to say. On a summer Sunday morning, the gossip wheel started turning. I can't believe that she's in church today. But on the back row she was seated, so broken down and so defeated. As the choir sang, she bowed her head to pray. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Forgive not, if you'll never need forgiveness. Don't credit criticize what you don't understand. Jesus wrote a message in the sand. Judge not. He was listed as a deacon, supposed to be the shining beacon. But just for fun, he surfed the web at night. He was lured by the attraction, in desperate need of some attention, from a wife who always seemed to pick a fight. She suggested that they meet, so he finally agreed. At a coffee shop just outside of town, he was consumed by her beauty, knowing well he had a duty. But at a cheap motel, he laid his duty down. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Forgive not, if you'll never need forgiveness. Don't criticize what you don't understand. Jesus wrote a message in the sand. Judge not. They were obviously a couple. They had seen their share of trouble. So they up and moved away to start again. On an interstate to Dallas, they prayed, Father, please allow us to find some decent, non-judgmental friends. But again, amidst the stares and sniggers, though they tried to be the bigger, condemnation broke their will in two. So one night they went out driving, so sick and tired of just surviving. The morning headlines read, suicide times two. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Forgive not, if you'll never need forgiveness. Don't criticize what you don't understand. Jesus wrote a message in the sand. Judge not.
Well, I believe we need to get a hold of the message of that song. The message of that song is to remind us of what we was talking about last week. Wisdom. That we need wisdom that is from above, because it's peaceable and loving and those kinds of things that we've mentioned. But he's talking also about the fact that it's wisdom that comes from below, from your life and my life and from the world which we live in. That there's wisdom that sometimes leads us down the wrong path. And that wisdom from below causes all kinds of difficulties, he said. He talked about it being as evil as from hell itself. Well, you and I need to realize that God is reminding us this morning of the need in our life to also have wisdom, to know how to forgive and how to understand people and how to be a part of the healing of their lives, not just the condemning of their lives. And we'll address that in just a moment. But before I do, I want to pray for the listening audience. I've started that, and I want to keep that going, that I can remember you as you're listening to me this morning and just asking the Lord to bless you in a very special way. So that's about the moment for a moment of prayer. Our most kind and gracious Father, once again we come into your presence and we ask your blessing to be upon our listening audience this morning. Father, I don't know those who have tuned us in, what they're going through in their individual life. But I want to pray for some of the things they might be facing and ask you, Lord, if you would give them some encouragement, some strength, We realize as we just listen to this story song of the difficulties that people are facing in their individual life. And so we ask your blessing to be upon the listening audience. Maybe some are going through some difficulty this morning because it's just been a very bad week last week. There's been everything that's going to go wrong seems to have gone wrong. Sometimes it just is like that. And yet at the same time, Father, we know that you love us, you care for us, and you want to give us some sense of direction. So, Father, I want to pray for those who this week has been a difficult week because there's been some family problems that crept into their relationship, and they need a love and a hug, Father, from you to give them the courage and the strength to know how to deal with that situation. So I pray your special blessing to be upon those that's going through family difficulties. I pray your blessing to be upon those that's found out they have some kind of a disease, most likely a lot of cancer around. And Father, I just pray that you bless those that's dealing with physical problems this morning. Father, we did two funerals this last week, and so we want to pray for those that's going through the grieving of loss of a loved one and the fact that it's maybe a year since that loved one has passed away, or it's just been a difficult week because they've missed that person so very much. We ask your hand of blessing to be upon them. And Father, those that need some financial encouragement, we pray you do that for them because you've promised that you can help us meet all the needs that we have. And I pray, Father, that you would bless those that are in need this morning. Now, Father, we come to the spiritual part of our life. Bless those that are discouraged spiritually. Bless those that maybe been hurt by something a Christian has said or done to them. I just ask, our Father, you would open our hearts to receive the warnings you give us this morning of how our life affects the life of others. And I'll thank you and I'll praise you for that in the wonderful name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Well, as we gather together today, I just want to remind you that he talked about that wisdom from above. Well, before I do, I shared that message from Wisconsin this last week, as we gathered with our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. What a special blessing last week was for Bev and I. As we traveled, we was finding out whether we'll be able to travel to Florida or not. She made the trip well, as could be expected, and we enjoyed traveling. And when we got to our kids, we enjoyed being with them and at times together. We had one great-granddaughter that had a birthday, so we were together for a birthday party on Saturday. Sunday, my daughter had them all over, the entire family that was there over for Sunday dinner. And then on Monday, we was going to go take just my son-in-law and daughter out for dinner, but the grandkids all called, is that including us? Because we was going to a pizza ranch, and so they all joined us again. So we had some really good times together. But, you know, then also we went to then we moved over to Kendall's after a few days, and at Kendall's, why, their nest is empty, so there wasn't a lot of extra people, just Kendall, Julie, and I, and we had some good times. By the way, on Sunday, I got to hear my grandson preach. He's been in the ministry for a few years now, but he's starting a brand new church in Madison, Wisconsin. And it had been about a year that they started. They got about 100 people coming. And what a privilege that was to listen to my grandson do the message in a church that he's just got started about a year ago. And then on Sunday, the next Sunday, we was at Kendall and Julie, so we got to hear Kendall and Julie, their church, meet their church, and Kendall minister, and had some baptisms and a potluck dinner at noon. So it was just a wonderful time, but I better stop with that because we did enjoy it. But when we were talking last week about wisdom from above, wisdom that's coming from God, it's pure, it's peace-loving, it's considerate, it's submissive, it is full of mercy and good fruits. It's impartial, but wisdom from below comes out of all the earthly self-serving, jealousy, unspiritual, demonic, disorder of all kinds of evil. And I love the way Jesus taught that. He said, you know what? A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. A tree is identified by its fruits. Figs never grow on a thorn bush, nor grapes on a bramble bush. A good person, now listen to this, a good person, and its goodness comes from God, produces good things from the treasure of a good heart. And an evil person produces all evil things from the treasure of an evil heart. We had already covered that. What comes out of the mouth defiles us because it shows what's in our heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, Jesus said. Now listen to this. And you do not do the things that I say. That's a pretty strong question from Jesus. Why do you call me Lord Jesus if you don't do the things I say? What God wants us to do now, from this idea of the wisdom that he's given us, he wants us to move forward. This wisdom from above is not going to give us a warning. Now is now going to give us a warning. And we need to listen and apply this warning to our hearts. Someone wrote this thought, God doesn't want us, God wants us to share of our, a share of our life. He doesn't just want a part of our life. He wants total control. Are you ready to do that to him? Are you ready to surrender because you know he leads you and are down the right path? Well, listen to this warning. He says, folks, you got to stop slandering each other. Brothers and sisters, stop slandering each other in James 4, 11 through 12. Those who slander and judge other people slander and judge God's teaching. There's only one lawgiver, and there's only one judge, and the one who is able to save and to destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Those who slander and judge others, in so doing, you judge God's teaching. You are no longer following them. Instead, you are now judging them. God's reminding us. He told us not to judge. God's teaching, as I've shared with you so far from the book of James, is that works and faith work together in your life. Learning how to live in this world with the wisdom from above. In all that we have covered so far in this study, I believe it is a full-time job for you and I to keep our own lives straight, to keep our own hearts straight, and walk the way God wants us to walk. One day Jesus said, if you've got a whole log in your eye, how can you see good enough to take a speck out of your brother's eye or your sister's eye? Quit judging one another is what he's starting out with. That's the warning, because there's some difficulty that comes not only to the person you're judging, but some difficulty that comes to you as well. Warning, don't brag about your plans for the future. You know, so many of us want to make all kinds of plans. And I love the way this translation gives us in the book of James, chapter 4, 13 through 7. By the way, you know, spending a few days like we did in Florida, I mean, in Wisconsin, preparing to go to Florida. You know, I'm not ready to go to Florida yet. Although here at the lighthouse this morning, there's been a tremendous frost. As a matter of fact, there's a steam coming off from the lake, because the lake water is warmer than the temperature is outdoors, and that really creates a little steam to come up. But my side yard up to the house was totally white this morning. So we've had a severe frost last night, and we know that's a changing of the seasons and a changing of the guard, so to speak. But, you know, going for and spend a few days in Wisconsin where we didn't have a whole lot of plans, just going to spend some time with our kids and our grandkids. You know, when Bev and I go to Florida, this year, if we, Lord willing, we get to go, it'll be our 21st year to go to Florida and spend some time there in a warmer climate in the winter months. But, you know, when we go down there, we just want to kind of spend time with one another. I had to tell them we're not being socially anti-social, so to speak, but when my wife and I come down here, she said, what we want to do is we don't want to have no plans to do anything. We just want to decide each day. I don't get to do that. We don't get to do that. Decide each day what we're going to do today. And so we've never got involved in anything for that month of February, and that's been such a blessing in our life. No, that's the kind of plan that we made, and that's the kind of thing that we have done. Now God's going to address this idea of making plans, and making plans when sometimes you're leaving God out. I love the way this translation said this. Pay attention to this. That's the way this translation starts, James chapter 4, 13. Pay attention to this. You're saying, today or tomorrow, we're going to go into such a city and we're going to stay there about a year. We're going to conduct business and we're going to make money. You don't know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life, God says? Your life is a mist or a vapor. It's here for a moment, you can see it, and all of a sudden it disappears. Instead, you should say, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and carry out our plans, and however. When you brag about because of what you're going to do, that shows your arrogance. And all such bragging, he says, is evil. It's going to take you down the wrong path, folks. When you're just making decisions about what you're going to do and we're not inviting God to be a part of that decision. When you're making decisions and you're not acknowledging God, my life's verse says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. James is speaking about some people who want to make big plans about going somewhere and making all kinds of money. They had done all the market research. They had done all the preparation. They knew just where the market for the goods was going to be and where it would work the best. They would get there before anyone else and make a killing. But they are making the three mistakes in their planning. First one is their planning without God. That's dangerous. Second, they were thinking they were in charge of the future. And thirdly, they act as if they were the ones who determined their future. I do believe God wants us to use faith and works. But I believe when we get it backwards, we're going to do the works and then we're going to ask God's blessing upon it. That's backwards, folks. He tells us to trust in him with all of our heart, not to lean to our own understanding. And so he's asking us to include him in these decisions. It's so easy for Christians to make plans and set goals and expect God to fall in behind them, expect God just to bless them. It's so easy to plan our lives as if we're in control of the future and had unlimited authority over the facts and the effects of life. And so we really do plan our lives without God's existing in them. And that's dangerous. We cannot be proud and boastful of the future and accomplishments. We must live day by day, seeking his will and making plans as he leads us. Leaving God out is a clue that you might be suffering from pride. If God isn't included in your plans. How are you doing this day about this thought? This is a warning to us. Don't make so many plans and leave God out of it. Get God involved in it. God knows the future. You don't know the future. Your life, he says, is like a vapor. You're here one moment and next moment you're gone. He's asking for us to pay attention to this thought. You don't know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? He's saying he wants us to live and carry out our plans, but he wants us to do it with God. I came across this for my devotions on this day when I shared this. Write your plans in pencil and give God the eraser. I loved that when I found that. Write your plans in pencil and give God the eraser. You know, when I first started being a pastor, I wanted to lay out the plans that I thought I would be doing and the things and the ways. And then pretty soon, you know, all of a sudden somebody's having a difficulty. And all of a sudden somebody needs a pastor to come and pray with them, or they need to sit down and have some words of encouragement or whatever else it might be. You know, I'd plan out my week, the things I needed to get done. And then I'd make it open. You know what I did at first? I made my plan out with an ink pen. And that's why this spoke to me so much when I found this here idea, this statement. Because all of a sudden I had to scratch that out because something happened and it changed my plans. And I wanted to be open to God's plans. I gave my agenda to God, let God work it out. I also knew how much time I needed for this and this and so on. I still needed to get those things done that had to be done. But you know something, dear people? All of a sudden I just have to erase. And I just felt that was giving God the eraser. Write your plans in pencil and give God the eraser. Allow him to change that plans into the plans that he may have for you as you go through these difficult things or these blessed things of your life. Then when I got the computer, I had a calendar on the computer. But on the calendar on the computer, it's very easy to change. You just got to go into the thing you was going to do, edit it, move it over to tomorrow, maybe change the time for tomorrow, and all of a sudden you're letting God erase what you had planned because he's got something else he wants you to do. And that's what God wants us to be able to do as an individual when we're allowing him to be a big part of our life instead of leaving him out of our life. What I'd like to do the next few moments, and then we'll listen to a song. I want to go back and pick up this idea. What is your life? Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It's like a vapor that appears a little time and then it vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord will, your life is a vapor that appears for a moment and then vanishes away. You know what it does, folks? It speaks of the swiftness of life. Remember when you were young and I was young? How time seemed to go so slow when we were waiting to do something in the future. And now as you get older, how time seems to go so fast. It speeded up. When my son Kendall turned 50, I said to him, Kendall, I know you've been think you're living in the fast track, but I want to welcome you to the real fast track. 50 to 60, Kendall's going to go a lot faster than any other period of your life. But I want to remind you, this is the way it works because I've experienced it. And even faster from 60 to 70. And I got to tell you, the fastest pace of my life has been from 70 to 80. You and I need to realize this thing called life goes by so swiftly. Think about what the years are going so fast. And just think about it. The years are going so fast. And we have less time. The wisdom from above would teach us not to think that we are in charge of life, but that God is in charge. Not that we're in charge of our future. It's okay to say, Lord willing, I'm going to do this or this. But if you make your plans and you're not including God, God's going to come to that. That's why he says instead, which gives us another option, not only what to say, but what to do in our hearts. Instead, you ought to say, the Lord wills, we'll do this and this. But if God wants to change the plans, that's okay to me. Because, you know, such boasting, when you sound like you're in charge, that brings about arrogance. And God is saying that arrogance is going to bring about some difficult things in your life. So he's warning us. Don't take charge of your future. Don't think that you're the one that's in charge of it. Do you remember the story Jesus told to kind of teach this very same teaching? It's given to us in the book of Luke chapter 12. When he spoke a parable saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. And he thought within himself, what shall I do since I have no room to store all of my crops? Therefore, this is what I'll do to store my crops. I'll build bigger barns. And then I'll put all my crops in those bigger barns. And then I'll say to my soul, soul, you have many good things laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, that's going to change everything, folks. But God said unto him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will all this be that you've accumulated? Who's it going to be for? What good is it going to do you? Remember who is in charge. When you and I come to these places in our life, in the book of Proverbs, he says this, be careful how you think your life is shaped by your thoughts. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. If you're going to take control of your life, your life's going to be shaped by that control that you think you're in charge when God is in charge. You know, God wants to remind us that we need that wisdom from above. I need to learn to trust in this God, that his wisdom is so much more than the wisdom that's in myself. His wisdom is so much more than all the wisdom that has been accumulated from the human nature side. I'm glad for the things that we've learned. I'm glad for the things that we've done. But you know what? When it comes to the direction of your life, you need direction from above. Your direction from below is going to cause you to have a lot of difficulty. And God is just saying, remember, I'm in charge of your life. Remember, I'm the one that's given you this gift called life. Let's listen to a song that talks along this line. And then I'll come right back, I'll get a sip of water, and I'll be right back and share the rest of the message with you. But we need to learn to trust in this God. We need to learn that he's the one that's in charge and ask him to take control of our future, not us being in charge of our future. God bless you. Let's listen in.
Circumstance, but there's just no way I can. When will I learn this lesson? Your ways are not like mine. Lord, help me to surrender the control I try to have on my peaceful my life.
a song. What a nice song for us to think about. She's talking in that song about the idea when I try to control my circumstances instead of letting it go. When I try to make my plans instead of seeking God's plans, causes me all kinds of difficulty. Do you realize what in that song is the main thought? Let go. Let go. Let go. It's easier to say than to do. But I got to tell you, I had such peace in my life when I came to that point that I surrendered my agenda to God. God, this is what I'm planning. But if you got something else I need to do, then I'm going to trust you. I'm going to allow you to give direction to my life. You know, one of the things, and just to show you a little bit about this, one of the things that was a part of is I'd make plans for the things I was going to do and days and what days I'd study and things like that and what times that I'd do this and this and that needed to be done. And there's certain things as I was pastor that needed to be done. Same as you got things that need to be done. But then, you know, in that time when you can think, well, I don't know what all I'm supposed to be doing. Then my telephone would ring. And they'd ask me, can you do a funeral on Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday? And you know what? When I, at first, you know, I think, oh, I got something on that day. I say, yeah, I can do it. I just make a few adjustments on this end. And you know what? When I finally came to that point to say, God, you're in charge. I do funerals. I don't schedule funerals. I have no control over that. So, Father, what I'm going to do is I'm going to plan my week as I to get the things done I need to get done. But if you need me to share in somebody's life in the loss of a loved one, then, Father, you're in charge. And so many times I had to change the agenda, but I had peace in that. That's what she's saying in that song. Let go of it. Just let go of you being in charge of your life and let God control your life. Let's move on to what else he says there. He tells us a warning is that you and I, therefore, to him who knows to do good and he doesn't do it, he says to him is sin. Sometimes we think sin is just all the naughty bad things that's in life. The naughty bad things you've done in the past or the naughty bad things you might be doing at the very present time. But sin is more than that. He's saying, if you know to do good and you don't do that good, he says to you, it's sin. If God's asking you to do something and you're not obeying him, God says that's sin. Too often we think of sin, as I mentioned, just those naughty bad things. But now he's going to explain to us there's a struggle between wisdom from above and wisdom from below. And there's also a struggle between living in obedience to the Spirit and doing what good God wants you to do and living after the flesh, which creates an evil because it's just thinking of yourself. Therefore, he says in the book of Romans, I want to go to another portion of Scripture to show you this. And Apostle Paul is writing, and he's reminding us of the struggle there is. He was born and he lived his first part of his life in a Jewish way, under the Jewish laws and so on. And they had lots of laws. But then he come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ who fulfilled the law. And now God reminding Paul that he's no longer less led by the law, but he's being led by the Spirit of God, which now lives within him. So listen to what he says. Therefore, since you place your faith in Christ, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. For the God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do, by sending his own Son in our likeness of our sinful flesh and to deal with sin. And he condemned sin in the flesh so that the just required of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but we walk according to the Spirit of God. For those who are living according to the flesh set their minds and things on the flesh. But those who are living according to the Spirit set their minds and things on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and it's peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's laws. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. God's saying there's a contrast between the wisdom from God and the wisdom from above. I love it one way that he said that your thoughts are not my thoughts and your ways are not my ways. God said, as the heavens is higher than the earth, so my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So my ways are higher than your ways. But when we're trying to live pleasing God, living in the world that's saying this is what you should be doing. When we try to live according to the wisdom that comes from above, and the wisdom that is of this world, he's saying, you know what? That's going to create a little bit of tension in your life to be obedient to God. And now we've added to that the things that come from the Spirit of God. He's saying when you know that what's coming from the Spirit of God, that's going to give you even more contrast in your life. Living in the flesh as it results by living in the Spirit results. It produces different things, folks. Paul begins to be, is explaining to us why we're going through this tension in our life. You've been justified by God. And as a true Christian, we will stumble from time to time. But he says, I want you to know you have no obligation to the flesh. But he wants us to know to be contrary to that is that our desire is not to be doing what the flesh wants us to do. So when we do something that reminds us that we shouldn't have done, he reminds us that's the way now that the flesh will lead you. So learn to have some victory over that flesh. And he's asking us to put that old flesh to death. But I got to tell you, folks, that old nature dies slow. That's why I think Jesus and God in his word said, crucify your flesh. Crucify was a very slow death. Live by the Spirit instead. Just don't think of your own desires and what you think you want to do, but think about God and the things that he wants you to do. And that's what he's reminding us that's so important for us to get a hold of. You know, God isn't trying to cause trouble in our life, but he's kind of reminding us. You're living in a world that is contrary to God. People want to leave God out. I got to share this illustration with you because it was so real. My daughter was working at a shop and she's getting up in years and she was working at a bagel shop. And when we got there, we got a little bit early, so she had told us where her workplace was and I wanted to see it, so we went over there. And it was just about closing time. And she had to clean up all the things from the kitchen and so on, and they make all kinds of coffee drinks and those things that's so popular today. And I had all kinds of baked goods and so on. And I said to her, is there anything I can do so you can get home a little quicker? And she said, yeah. She said, if you want to, well, you can sweep the floor. So she got me the equipment they had. And by the way, they didn't have the best equipment. She got me the equipment they had, and then it was the idea of sweeping the floor. Well, you know, I did that, and it took me about 45 minutes. And she, in the meantime, got the rest of the cleaning up, so then we was ready to go home. And as we was on our way home the next day, as I was thinking about that, I said to her, Angie, you got to get a different job, honey. You're not old, but you're too old to be doing that kind of work. And besides, you got so much in your life that you can contribute to somebody else in some other way. She said she'd been thinking about being a nanny, because she loves the little children. And the first job she applied for, which she did while we was there, when she went for the interview, I called her from Kendall's house, and she went for the interview. And this is exactly what she was told. I understand that you're, you know, you go to church and you're a Sunday school teacher and all those kinds of things. They said, but you know what? We want you to work for us, but we don't want you sharing any of your religious ideas with our little children. They're 2 years old. We don't want you sharing any of your religious teachings with them. And I said to her, sweetie, how are you going to live in a house like that? How are you going to go there and be with those little children and not be involved? Because she tells her grandchildren Bible stories and so on, and that's so special. You know what? It's because life is got a big if in it. He's reminding us, when you know to do good and you don't do it, to him it's a sin. We got to be careful of the tension that's created because of that if. Listen to what James says, and I just want to remind you that in the Bible, and when I looked it up on my quick verse thing that I have, the word if is used 1,784 times in the New Testament. In the King James Version, it's used 1,595 times. God's saying, let go. Let me take control of your life. In James 1:5, he said, if you lack wisdom, ask the Lord. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, not a doer of the word, talks about the problems going to cause in his life. If anyone among you thinks he's religious and he doesn't control his tongue, that's all in the book of James. I'm only giving you a few of them. If there should be, you come together as an assembly and a man comes in that's rich and a man that comes in poor and you treat the rich man better than the poor man. If you're really full of the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor. He's saying this if. Life has a great big if right in the center of L-I-F-E. It's a big if. How are you living? Are you living according to the regulations of this world or according to the Word of God? I love it. And the last part I want to say about that if is, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all sin. God is reminding us that we need to understand that we need him to be the director. So let's cover one more thought as we close. I think it's so precious because of the fact that it was something that happened in the life of three disciples, Peter, James, and John. You know, they were with Jesus on many special occasions. And when it was coming to the end of Jesus' life and he was headed to the Garden of Gethsemane, you know what? He took Peter, James, and he took all the disciples, the 11 of them. Judas had ran off to betray him. He took them into the Garden of Gethsemane, and then he took Peter, James, and John. He says, go with me just a little further. And they went a little further. And this wisdom from above, we're going to learn and see it demonstrated by the Lord Jesus. Then he said to them, I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me. I'm just going to go a little further. And he threw himself on the ground and he prayed, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Let not what I want, but what you want. Then he came to his disciples and he found them asleep. And he said to Peter, so could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray. You may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again he went a little further and he prayed the second time. My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, not my will, but your will be done. And he came back and he found the disciples sleeping again because their eyes were heavy. Here's a type of what God is saying as we wrap up our time in our message today about heeding the warnings that God has given us. He's reminding us, dear people, that there's all going to be all kinds of things. And he's telling us to be alert. This idea of alert is like the watchman. He's keeping track. He's in charge of a certain period of time, and he needs to be awake and alert to what's happening. And God's saying, that's what I want you to do. You know, in the daytime, you can see the things a little easier that you could watch for. But in nighttime, it's a little harder to distinguish those things. And our world is getting darker, folks. And so we need to be more alert today than we've ever been in our time of life. Because the darker it gets, the brighter our light's going to shine, and I love God for that. But we need to also know that the more difficult it's come, he's telling the disciples, I want you to watch and pray. I want you to be alert, and I want you to be praying about these things that your life could go through as an individual. But he came and he found the disciples asleep. And when he found the disciples asleep, he asked them, couldn't you watch with me for 1 hour? I'm asking you to be assistant to me during this difficult time in my life as I surrender to God's will. And you know, that's the reason why God can look at us today, is because the one, his son, his one and only son, surrendered to the will of God and overcome flesh. And God's saying, you know what? That's what I want you to do as my child. I want you to have victory over those things that can discourage you so quickly and cause difficulty in your life. I want you to know that no matter what you're going through, I want you to be alert about it, and I want you to pray about it. You know what praying about it is? It's getting God involved in what you're going through in your individual life. We're going to listen to a closing song, and this song is just remind us, in spite of whatever you're going through in your life, God's able to lead you, God's able to direct you, he's able to give you wisdom from above, which is so much better than the wisdom from below. God bless you in your strains of life. Give you the courage to make the right decisions. I pray in Jesus' name. God bless you.
In spite of it all, God still blesses you. In spite of it all, my God still cares. He is still changing lives. He's working miracles each day. In spite of it all, he answers prayer.
I know there is coming a day I'll hear him call me up to a land that's been prepared for the true and the free. Then the guilt and the shame, and each time I fall, I leave it behind me. I hear him call, praise God, I know that I'll make it home in spite of it all.